The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw It On, episode 396. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What's up, people?
Adam Vale.
How you doing?
And Brian Majoma.
Bye-bye, Batgirl.
Oh, man. Oh, and Brian, potentially bye-bye, Supergirl.
Who watches that shit?
Basically, not to get into it, but WB is like canceling a bunch of movies.
Well, Discovery? Discovery's doing budget cuts.
Yeah, so they canceled the Batgirl movie. They're potentially going to cut the Supergirl movie, you know, the Latina Supergirl, you know, a bunch of other stuff. So, but anyway, we're not here to talk about that.
Tony, it gets even funnier. So they're canceling all those stuff, but yet they're not canceling that one movie where the actors going around the USA with a bulletproof vest and a gun on, taunting the FBI.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, Punisher, yeah.
But that's a true story, so you have to
By the way, we have to call Ezra Miller a they now.
Who's
that
Ezra
dude,
Miller?
That dude has...
Dude, I'm offended, Carlos. I'm offended.
I thought dude was like a gender-neutral term, unless the rules changed again.
It could have. It probably changed within the last 30 minutes. Anyway, regardless, I'm fucking with you, Carlos. Go ahead, man.
Regardless of what it is, this dude has something on fucking Warner Brothers. I have no clue. There's something.
So he was a groomer, right? He's destroying Hawaii, basically.
What's a groomer? What do you mean? Like, groomer went for pets?
Like Epstein's kind of shit.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, maybe not to that extent. I don't want to say that kind of stuff, but, you know.
All right. So he was supplying for somebody.
No, he was supplying for himself.
Oh, for himself.
Yeah, he was grooming. I'll tell you what that means.
Allegedly,
right, obviously. Right.
Damn, I don't know these three terms.
Those car accidents aren't alleged, though. You know, the bulletproof vest ain't a legend, but yeah, motherfucker's crazy.
Okay. But he's an actor also?
He's the Flash.
I remember that. They used from the Flash movie, not the TV show.
The Justice League movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy motherfucker.
Now I know.
Yeah, look up Groomer. He's one of those. I remember that. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, he's wearing
like, that's your boy that's in jail now for 30 years. That dude.
Who, Wesley Snipes?
Don't get him off, man. That was tax reasons. That wasn't like this. Yeah. No, I Believe I Can Fly dude.
Oh, R. Kelly, yeah.
Kelly? There you go. He was like that.
It's funny. I was just thinking about the Chappelle skit. I sip Chris. You drink piss. Drip, drip, drip. Drip on you. Oh, man.
You could just move out the way.
Yes, it.
Step aside.
You can just step aside. Oh, man. Anyway, we're here for another episode of Throwdown. Real quick, you notice someone is missing, Mr. Emilio Lopez. That is because he is at C2E2 in Chicago. So,
yo, man.
So if you're going to be at C2E2 this weekend, make sure you hit him up in Artist Alley. He is at table L16. So once again, Artist Alley, table L16. Hit him up. He'll hook you up with some art. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at his Twitter right now. Looks like he's been busy doing the arts. Pretty cool.
And waiting at airports.
I don't know why I thought it was Sunday. He said it was on Sunday that he had this.
No, it's Comic-Con. It's a 4-day thing. You know.
4 days.
Oh, shit, look at that. He got Liquid Snake, Clamp Clark to sign one of his posters.
Dope. Nailed it.
I wonder if he has any of these that he's still selling. I don't know if he is.
Oh, the tapes? Remember the cassettes? I think he ran out of them, you know.
Because these are also, USB drives.
Yeah. It's dope, man.
Yeah.
But he was having a bitch of a time getting there, you know?
Man, I'd be traveling in general now by plane. It's a pain in the ass everywhere now.
Funny, when I went to Vegas and back, fine. No problems. It was like normal, you know? No issues lucky. Whatsoever. Yeah, I did get lucky, you know?
Pilots and stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, we are here to talk about them video games. And again, this is another week where kind of slow, but we got some financials, which is always exciting, you know? So we'll get to that a little bit later. But first, we're going to talk about this first story here. So Sony says that it believes Xbox owning Call of Duty could influence users' choice. This is something we talked about before. It's like, you know, Call of Duty is still going to remain multi-platform, right? But here's your choices, right? Potentially $70 on PlayStation. Potentially, it could be $60, right? Potentially $70 on PlayStation or potentially for free, quote unquote,
well, they already
on
said
Xbox. $15 a month, you know, so Sony is right to be concerned. Obviously, nothing they could do about it, you know.
But they knew this before because that's why they started paying the 1 year exclusive rights for the DLC stuff. Remember, that was a turning point right there. Once they started getting that 1 year exclusive rights, a lot of people jumped ship because they're like, shit, I need
Sony knows for sure. Because remember, when they had the exclusive rights, you know,
that's what I'm saying. Well, they took those rights. It was Microsoft that had it for a while, and then they lost it, and then poof, Sony took it. So they know.
Yeah. So yeah, they say, you know, we don't need to get there. They know that Call of Duty. I mean, think about what happened when PlayStation outage happened. Was it 2011? Motherfuckers went on Xbox just to keep that Call of Duty addiction going. You know.
Yeah, man, it's real.
It's real. Yeah. So they have a right to respond this way. You know. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was inevitable that these types of things would happen once the acquisition was announced, because we're talking about the biggest cash cow in gaming. Maybe, you know, maybe GTA 5 is one of them, but Call of Duty is definitely one that, you know, every year gets revenue, sells copies, it moves systems, like we mentioned earlier with that outage with the PlayStation. Yep. People migrated to Xbox to get their fix. And you know, and this is why Game Pass can be an extremely appealing deal, is you get Call of Duty, you get these IPs that people go crazy every year, and you make it free on Game Pass for $15 a month, along with all these other games. I mean, it makes it a lot easier.
Them, man. All of them.
This is interesting to hear Sony say this, because this is like, you know, behind the scenes and stuff, but they said, this is what Sony said about Call of Duty. It's an essential game, a blockbuster, a AAA game that has no rival. He like, yo, even compared to your shit? But it's true, well, though. Nothing really compares. In terms of money, nothing compares.
Kill one. What was it called? Killzone? Killzone. Remember, they tried to compete in that space, and it didn't work.
Actually, Killzone was actually supposed to be a Halo killer, and, you know.
Killzone.
It felt more like a Call of Duty in the
late. Call of Duty wasn't Call it. You know what I'm saying? Call of Duty wasn't the behemoth it was at that point. You know?
Yeah, Killzone. The original Killzone came out the same year Halo 2 came out.
Yeah,
and it was a direct competitor. That year, Halo was king. Call of Duty was still World War II game, and it just was Modern Warfare. Modern Warfare came out and changed the game.
Yeah,
and then it became king, and then Killzone 2 was a weird one because I felt like that game took a while to come out. You know, there's all this hype around it, especially around the single player and the graphics. But yeah, it's, you know, maybe Killzone Shadowfall was more of a Call of Duty competitor in that sense, but not the original ones. I don't think they initially started that, you know, to get at Halo more than anything.
Yeah, exactly. This is something Sony said, and this is very true. Even in weaker years like 2021, Call of Duty still managed to outperform most other games by a considerable margin. Call of Duty Vanguard, which came out that year, for example, was widely regarded as weaker than previous year's titles, but was still one of the best-selling games of 2021. In other words, even in a bad year, players remained loyal to the brand and continued to buy the game. Yep.
Well, because it's the multiplayer.
You know?
It's still the weakest out of all their games, most recent ones.
Y'all got cracked.
Was it weaker than the space one?
The space one actually did very well, even though it was reviewed horribly. People still
Call of Duty. You know,
it's still Call of Duty. You know, but this one,
yeah. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
This one just felt like run of the mill bland, and there was really nothing to it. But people still play Call of Duty because you still got Warzone. So in the space, people are still doing it, and I think a lot of people bought it also for zombies. They still like to do the zombies.
Yeah, people like zombies. Yeah.
They like zombies, and when you get a Call of Duty game, and then this is whenever I review these things every year, I always end up closing with the same primary statement. It's like, you're getting a lot for your money, just like a GTA game, you know. But at least with this, you're getting these yearlies because you get multiple modes. You got a regular campaign, right? Recently, all the new ones have been having the campaign. They went back to that. You have multiplayer with a bunch of modes with always new content. You have a zombie mode for people that are into zombies. And then you have a battle royale mode. So you got four different types of modes to play.
Yeah.
So there's something for everybody. In the first person space, if you're into it, there's something for you here, and they're always supporting all those modes. All of them are getting updates and all kinds of tweaks and things happening. Not so much with the main campaign, sometimes they do, but they'll do add-on stories. But for everything else, yeah, there's plenty of content, battle passes and all this that stuff, and chotskis and things for your weapons. So if you invest that money, this one game could be your go-to for, you know, whatever, 6 months, 7 months, or whatever, until you decide to play something else, you could put your time into it. So,
I was going to say, there are people who literally only play Call of Duty.
Yeah. You know? Get your bang for your buck. That's it. I mean, that's the reason why sport games do so well.
People are like, Madden. Oh,
I don't know why? Well, let me see. There's no other NFL licensed game, and this covers the entire season. So if you're someone who watches these games and follows these games and these players, you're doing it in real time with the game. It only makes sense, especially with how big fantasy football is, or fantasy football, you know, and you're one of them. You know, it's huge. That's why we have Foot Ultimate Team, and then we have Mutt for Madden with the cards and all that stuff, and Ultimate, and people do it. It lasts the entire season, which is pretty much what, only 2 or 3 months shy of the entire year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can live on it for one. Vanguard, right? Didn't do that well. Yeah. Still has content coming out right now. They still That's have content crazy. Coming out.
But, yeah, Call of Duty, man. So, yeah, Sony, you know, they're definitely they have a right to be concerned, you know.
It's not going to take long before, you know, it's going to be interesting because, you know, Game Pass not only is part of a console, but it's, you know, it's part of your tablets, phones, PCs now, and TVs.
Your Steam Deck.
Steam Deck, even though it's a bitch to fucking get it to work,
it takes time. It's
becoming more, you know, available throughout different platforms, and with having this deal with Activision and Blizzard, you know, it's not going to take long before Microsoft sort of handcuffs the experience to be sort of the quote unquote quintessential Microsoft experience instead of, you know, oh, it's just, you know, Call of Duty multi-platform. Well, of course, you're going to be able to get it multi-plat, but will it have a lot of features tied down to the Xbox? The fact that it's, you know, it's going to be on the subscription with Game Pass day one. I guess we're still assuming that, right? Because it hasn't been announced, but I mean, it's a good assumption at this point.
Well, I told you, Mike. No, well, they already said that all games that are first party within their studios will be part of Game Pass because that's their service for their in-house studios. So if they own this, I don't see why it would be any different than what they did with Blizzard. They did the same thing. Well, not Blizzard, with Bethesda. They did the same thing. All those big titles are like, oh, they're all going to be, they're all on there. They're all on there. They dropped them all and they stay there. So that's cool. But I think, and I'm going to stick with this unless it doesn't happen. Oh. I think, and this is just me, there's no rumors, it's just what I'm thinking. Yeah, this will be multi-platform, but they're going to create another series. Just like we have the Black Ops series and we have Modern Warfare, there will be another Call of Duty series, and that one will be exclusive. They're going to make sure at least one new series is going to be exclusive. Or it could be even one of the other ones. They just said Call of Duty is going to be on it. It didn't say all of them because people forget it's not just Call of Duty. There's different streams, there are different tiers of it. They're all different. Black Ops is its own franchise, its own series. Modern Warfare is its own. You know, they're all separate. And of course, Warzone, the Battle Royale, that's standalone. That's go ahead, play it for free. So
are we going to have a Miss Cleo moment, man?
I see it in the future. It's coming. We're going to have Call of Duty exclusive.
Oh man, where's Damien at, man? All right, moving on here. Still sticking with Call of Duties. So apparently, next year's Call of Duty, 2023 Call of Duty, has been delayed. But they're gonna have a bunch of like extra content for the existing Call of Duties. Adam, what's your take on that? I'm pretty sure you heard about this as well.
I'm not surprised, and this is from a lot of the big guys that follow it, a lot of YouTubers that go out there that all they only cover freaking Call of Duty, yeah, have been predicting something like this going to happen for the obvious reasons and what I just mentioned. They still support all these other Call of Duties. Yeah. So if you have these studios and you're like, right, got to work on a new one. Okay, we'll work on a new one. But you got to keep supporting the Black Ops one. You got to also support the Cold War. You know, now you also got to keep supporting Vanguard and the multiplayers. You know, and you got to keep everything going on with the battle passes for all of them. That's a lot. That is a lot of work. And yeah, they have four studios, three and Raven, which is a support team for all the other ones. Yeah. It's still a lot. You got to eventually cut one off. And I think their fear is the backlash. I mean, we hear backlash whenever these old ass servers held from Ubisoft, they can't even shut down shit that nobody plays. People go up in arms. Just imagine now if they say, you know what, we're going to stop supporting that Call of Duty from, I don't know, 4 or 5. You're mad. Oh, shit. You know, it's going to happen. You know, even if people aren't playing it, they're still going to bitch. And I think that's the problem, because then it's like, well, what do we do? Because we're still supporting those. That's taking resources away. Talent from just focusing on development of the new game. So that's one of the things that a lot of them were all saying. It's like, how are they going to pull this off?
Yeah.
Because every game, you're like, oh, well, how did they do it last year? Well, there was only 2 games that were supported. All right, now next year, oh, now you got 3 games plus the other one. Oh, you got another Warzone, and 4 Call of Duties to support. That's a lot. That is a lot. None of the other games do that. We talked about it when someone was saying, what was that term that they were saying when it was a game is not done? We call it complete, but they were saying something else. Well, that's it. Then people have to accept it at some point. And the problem is a lot of people don't want to accept it. And then now you got Activision and others like this that are stuck in this weird spot because they want to move on. And they're like, but there's better versions. Unless, this is the only thing I could think of, release numbers. Just release numbers. When you say, hey, we're shutting this server down, and these are the latest player stat numbers, there's only 4 people from Michigan that are playing this. So can we shut this shit down and stop worrying about updates and stuff? No one's doing it. And we're spending resource time management, contributing, adding stuff, content. We can kill that off and put those members of the team onto the newer ones. Because if not, this is what happened before. This is what led to them buying all the other studios. They had Infinity War, Treyarch, Sledgehammer, and then Raven. They got 4 studios trying to bang these games out. What, you add another studio? That's a possibility, because you got Microsoft and the whole thing and all the other studios. And who knows if some of those studios don't do well with whatever game they're working on. Microsoft could probably squish them together, because like we said, and even Sony said, you know, Call of Duty is a juggernaut. You know, so you want to feed that beast, but it's going to have hiccups. It's going to have problems. And so when I heard this, wasn't surprised, because where's the resources? What are we hearing in all these areas with crunch and, you know, a lack of staffing and stuff? It's like, yeah, it's going to happen. So not surprised. But again, like we said, there's plenty of Call of Duty content. You know, they're still releasing. Vanguard just came out with another season of content. Whether you like it or not, it's out there. So you can go get some more new camos. They got some new, like, retro-looking, like, 3-dimensional camos for your weapons. People are into all that. I got hooked for a little bit on Call of Duty World War II, the newer one that they did. That was pretty, but it was, like, the guns look dirty and bloody and stuff. It was really cool. That's all the stuff. I don't like myself looking pretty. I like everything gritty.
Yeah.
You know, like a hobo just picked it up.
That's nice. Know. All right, so there it is, man. So, okay, this one's adjacent to it. Okay, so obviously, you know, Sony was out there saying that, you know, Call of Duty is one of the biggest franchises out there. Obviously, Activision makes Call of Duty, right? Now, interestingly enough, Microsoft, who owns Activision Blizzard, says that the company doesn't make must-have games.
Wait, did I hear that right?
Yeah. Yes, you heard right. I'm going to read what Microsoft said. Specifically, with respect to Activision Blizzard video games, there is nothing unique about the video games developed and published by Activision Blizzard that is a must-have for rival PC and console video game distributors that could give rise to a foreclosure concern. Basically, Microsoft is saying, hey, us buying them doesn't matter because the games aren't must-have. We're not taking anything away from the other platforms. They're not must-have, you know? So they're trying to downplay their own shit. So, you know, because there's people been breathing down their neck after seeing all that, you know? They're coming down my neck, too, by the way. But that's a whole other story.
I'm not a mobster. I own all these pizzerias and bakeries, a legitimate business. Everything is fine. You could do the same thing. Everything is fair here. They know what they're fucking doing. They just don't want the backlash of people saying they're monopolizing, that they're taking.
That's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
Well, there's too much riding on this deal. I mean, it's like, what is it, $68 billion?
I believe
something
so,
like,
yeah.
Something ridiculous like that.
Close to 70, yeah.
Yeah, that's a stupid amount of money for Activision. Of course they're going to say, nah, they're not special. Well, anybody can make that. Anybody can have Call of Duty. What are you talking about? World of Warcraft? Who even plays that anymore?
Plays that shit, you know? Wait, we didn't get anything. As a matter of fact, we lost money behind this fucking company.
You don't play no more. Jimmy's boy don't even play.
Jimmy don't play, you know? Pablo don't play that shit, you know?
Roblox? Roblox.
Overwatch 2? No, forget that.
Yeah. By the way, let me just read this real quick. This is from Rock Paper Shotgun. I didn't realize they were still around.
Yeah, it's still around, yeah.
Yeah. Microsoft have just. I love the way they start this. Microsoft have justified their $68.7 billion purchase of Call of Duty publisher Activision by telling regulators that the company doesn't produce must-have games. And if that's making you ask why they sum up more than any other tech buyout in history for the privilege of owning a company that doesn't have any killer apps in its stables, then you can line up behind me. Yeah, like what? Because even Carlos was like, wait, say that again? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah. How much you pay for it? Just keep moving. Yeah. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, like, listen, man. We got ripped off, man. They don't make nothing. You know, don't worry about it.
If you were talking specifically about Heroes of the Storm, I would have understood.
Yeah.
Right. I think the only company that got ripped off was Sony, spending some $1 billion over on Destiny. Really? Fucking Destiny?
Oh, Bungie, right?
Yeah, that Bungie deal. Ridiculous how much money they spent just for one studio.
Well, I mean, what is it?
It was in the billions. I remember they said it.
It was definitely in the billions, but it was like $2 billion or something like that.
No. Hold on. Let me look. I got the Google machine in front of me.
It certainly wasn't $68.7 billion.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
By the way, update.
Oh.
A Microsoft spokesperson reached out to Rock Paper Shotgun with a statement clarifying what the company meant by must-have. So they go, must-have. Hey, let me finish this one, because the first sentence, I'm like, are you kidding me?
$3.7 billion. Okay. That's it. Just get that out.
Must-have is a legal term of art and not a statement about the value we place on Activision Blizzard's gaming portfolio. We love every one of their games and have enormous admiration and respect for the creative talent behind them. Get the fuck out of here.
Creative? I mean, everything can fall under
a legal term of art?
Yeah. What does that even mean? I'm even more confused.
A legal term of art.
It sounds like an NFT.
Yeah, right?
Alternative facts. That's it. It's in the same category.
Yeah. Like, listen, you got your own facts. I got my own facts.
Yeah, it's alternative facts. That's
it. Listen, what I say must have means something different for you, you know? Now leave me alone.
What are the Federal Trade Commission rules on the value of art?
Yeah, right?
Please tell us.
What the fuck? some interesting word jujitsu there.
Oh, you know? Like, how do we dance around this one?
Yeah, right. Again, I always go back to the Vanilla Ice thing, man. It's the greatest thing ever. Theirs goes. Ours goes. It's that little change. It's not the same.
Look at the all that someone, if someone wanted to just compare, just do the numbers for the sales and the subscription numbers for WoW. Look at recently Diablo Immortal with the amount of money that they're making, because soon that's going to be all under that.
We're going to talk about that game later on.
So, you know? Yeah, so I mean, come on. They don't have any money. Really? Tell that to the people spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on this shit. Come on.
Bugging, man.
Yeah.
Not to mention Hearthstone. Not to mention Call of Duty.
And doesn't Activision own
Tony Hawk?
The other mobile stuff like Candy Crush.
Candy Crush, Candy Crush. That's all under there too.
But not must. It's not art, man. It's not art.
It's not art.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, it's someone just trying to make it sound like, we paid almost $70 billion for nothing, man. What's there to look at?
We found it in the cushion.
Go look at Tencent. Don't look at us.
You hear what these Chinese companies are doing? Go take a look at them.
Those are communists. We are an American company, sir.
Exactly. Why are you attacking me? America first. You see my flag in the background, right? Come on. What, you're from what? Wait, Illinois? Me too.
Our Xbox is green, like American money.
Exactly.
All right. Kind of subject adjacent since we're about to jump over. I wanted to ask Chris. Sony isn't held by the same monopoly laws that Xbox is. I'm correct on that, right?
They operate out of Japan, so I don't know what their kind of rules are. But if they buy American companies, it's through their parent company, so it would be under Japanese law. I don't know what the Japanese kind of anti-competitive statutes are.
I think it's all under the region in which the product or the things that are going on happen in. So for example, Apple is an American company that, you know, creates phones, I guess quote unquote American, but they're made in China. But Europe is instituting a thing telling them, hey, you can't release these phones if they don't have a USB-C. So
right, no. Well, that's because the European Union has strict laws, right? They find Google and they find, but that's only punitive, right? But they can't stop Apple from acquiring another company. Like, they'd have to bring it to court here, right?
But what if that company is European? Like, let's say it's CD Projekt Red.
So if Apple bought CD Projekt Red, would it fall under Polish law or our law? I guess it depends. I don't know. I honestly don't know because how does it work with Tencent? Who's going to tell Tencent? Is the FTC going to stop them if they buy someone here?
Well, I feel like they just buy shares. They don't buy companies outright. Like, even with Destiny, they own some of it. They don't own it outright. Sony does.
Right, and I think that's how they... Destiny. Yeah, Bungie.
What else do they got? Come on now.
You got Marathon.
So, Brett, the answer is I'm not sure because Sony does operate out of Japan, and that's the parent company, and that's so they would be under Japanese law. But Carlos might be right. So if Sony purchased Capcom, that's under it's in Japan, so they'd be under Japanese law. But if they purchased some indie studio here, that would fall. That's small potatoes, so probably wouldn't trigger any problems. But let's say Sony bought Ubisoft, right? Not just completely hypothetical. Then, I mean, Ubisoft's in Canada, so does it fall under Canadian law? I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I thought they were French. They're in France.
Well, no, the parents, the headquarters is in Canada.
The French part of Canada.
Yeah.
Okay. Quebec,
but not France. France, not in not Europe.
France,
okay.
France light.
Yeah.
I was just curious because I was thinking about the circumstances of this whole, all the monopoly things and all the companies being grabbed up and everything like that. And it kind of occurred to me that Microsoft kind of has its hands tied behind its back, trying to prove that it's not going to get a monopoly. I'm not sure if Sony has that limit.
Oh, actually, you know what? No, Carlos is right. Because you know what? Sony did run into that with Crunchyroll. They were actually, there was case filed with the FTC to stop them because they had bought Funimation. They had bought a couple other anime distributors here, and then Crunchyroll was like the last one that was independent. And people said that they'd have a monopoly on anime distribution in North America if you let them buy Crunchyroll. But it went through. So I think Carlos is right. I think if they purchase anything here, it would be under FTC. So if Sony was doing, if they had Microsoft's money and was doing what they were doing, they would fall under Federal Trade Commission stipulations, and you could make an argument the same way, like, oh, they're being anti-competitive. you know, I don't know, they bought Roblox. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, I think Brett, a better way to look at it maybe is maybe more like assets. So it's like, you know, buying an asset in the US as a Japanese company, you might be subjugated to Japanese stuff, you know, for buying stuff. Or maybe you know the worst case scenario, you can be Alibaba in China and the government just telling you, yo, you're gonna consolidate a lot of this stuff and give us money. So it's like, you know, depends on which country, because they all have different laws, and whether you're buying from your own, a company from your own country or from another one, you know you traverse different laws within that country and yours. So who knows, it's kind of a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, this whole Gordian's knot of international trade laws will be it'll be interesting. Like, because you brought up Ubisoft, so what I'm hearing is they could buy Ubisoft, and really that would go down to, you know, Canada's laws. But more importantly, I think it sounds like Japan's, and I wonder I'm gonna have to look into what Japan's anti-monopoly laws are. I mean, I assume that they have some.
Yeah, and a company like Ubisoft, even especially because they're a public company, they're a publicly traded company. So, yeah, they're.
Did we just skip to the Ubisoft story?
No. Okay. We call this a segue, Tony.
Well, that's like four segments away, dude.
It's like four episodes from now. Come on.
Yeah, like shit. Like, we got that story. We just, you know.
Hey, don't blame me because the segue was too awesome.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know what, Brett? You dictated it. So let's go. Let's talk about Tencent reported looking into buying Ubisoft. We're a bigger stake. Oh, boy. The communists are coming, you know? So let me look at this. Yeah, right?
Completely unknowingly when I spoiled Game of Thrones for you. I was bullshit and walked right into it.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, so Tencent is reportedly raising stake to become largest Ubisoft shareholder.
This is the reason why I was kind of thinking about this. You know, you have three big companies all at play here to gobble up as many companies as possible and be the, you know, the global monopoly on games. Let's be honest, that's exactly what's happening here.
Wait, who are the three companies? Because Tencent's one of those companies.
Yeah, Tencent, yeah. Microsoft, and Sony.
Who's the other one? The other big one, big Chinese one?
Oh, yeah.
Because they're trying to buy
up people. Yeah. The Lost Ark people.
And we always forget their name, too.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, but anyway, go on. Tencent. Ubisoft. Yeah.
My curiosity is, you know, what rules are each of these going to have to follow? Because if you look at the playing field, it's not one set of rules across the whole playing field. Each company is coming in having dictated and created their own set of rules. They're all self-governing. And I'm not sure how many games you guys play, but when everybody just gets to make up their own rules as they go, shit kind of gets weird. And so I'm kind of wondering what the balance of power here is going to be. Like, will Tencent just be allowed to gobble up everything because China wants to own everything possible and they don't give a shit about monopolies? Microsoft and Sony hold themselves. Well, Microsoft is held back by U.S. anti-monopoly laws, and I don't know what Sony's deal is. So Sony might be somewhere in the middle. They might be kind of towards the U.S., but we know fucking Tencent is on one side of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the U.S. is pretty good about breaking up monopolies.
NetEase.
Just real quick. So two sources claiming that Tencent is aiming to be, quote unquote, become the largest single shareholder of Ubisoft with another stake purchase. At this time, it's unclear how much the company is planning of owning a company. Additional sources say that Tencent does plan on purchasing the extra stake from the Guillemot company, the current CEO of Ubisoft, which owns 15% of the firm. This would mean Tencent would hold 20% of the Assassin's Creed developer, the remaining 80% of the stakes belonging to public shareholders. So yeah, so if they would own 20%, that would be the largest stake, you know?
Right.
Tencent is also apparently planning on seeking out additional stakes from these public shareholders in order to raise its ownership.
Oh, damn. There you go. What I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, they could just reach out to anyone. They could offer, you know, whatever, like a slightly higher than market price to buy out their shares.
Yeah.
And then you get a majority stake, and then that's it. You're at the biggest seat at the table.
Then your gear gone.
Yeah, your gear gone, yeah.
Call me a bit paranoid, but like, isn't letting a Chinese government-owned media corporation buy into one of the largest Western gaming developers kind of a bad idea?
Dealing with China in general is bad, dude. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, this just sounds like one of those, like, dude, like, you could inject spy, like, you could do so much damage, even not even hacking, just political damage and control.
That's kind of already happening.
No, I know, and that's why, like, I was like, fuck, a 20% share of Ubisoft, like, this isn't a tinfoil hat. This is just a regular hat.
Yeah, no, you're right. This is scary. You know, I'm not going to get into that, but this is what happens when you go to bed with these fucking people, you know? Thank you, Nixon. Now we're here. Fucking bullshit, man. But, you know, if you've seen reports, China, it looks like they're about to collapse within the next 10 years. So, you know, that's a whole other story. But this shit,
I think,
is
China always looks like that.
Yeah, it's very disturbing what's going on right now. Let's just dial it back. Yeah, with gaming, yeah, this is Tencent just gobbling everything up. Very disturbing.
I will say this: if it's one company that I wouldn't mind out of the big ones, it's definitely Ubisoft, because they have fallen so hard from their heyday. Obviously, I'm sorry, Adam. I know they control your
the division.
The Tom Clancy series, and they hold, you know, Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs and all those. But for me, they've gone down.
It's fallen off a lot for the other series. Yeah, things haven't been great for Assassin's Creed series.
So yeah. if you're gonna get one of them, it better be that one. Then Bethesda, for example.
I find it weird that they would do that, because remember when they had that other company that was trying to gobble them up? They were really against it. They were
preventing Vivendi.
Yeah,
they were
Vivendi
constantly trying to.
I find it odd that they would just bend the knee for this. I mean, if they really need money, look, we just mentioned a bunch of IPs. They could offload some of those. They could sell some if they need it, or they can do what Capcom was doing. It was like, hey, we'll work out a partnership. You fund it, and then we'll produce it. Remember, like, they did that deal with PlayStation for Street Fighter V. They did that deal with Microsoft for Dead Rising 4.
Right.
You know, so...
Nice.
There's ways of making money without having to sell your soul. And they have IPs that they could definitely do that. Hell, sell Far Cry. Who gives a shit about that? That's like one of the worst ones so far. Just sell that. Somebody else will buy it.
It will be interesting, though, because, you know, we mentioned Ubisoft is a Canadian company, a Canadian public company. And, you know, Canada in the last, I think last year, they banned foreigners from buying homes in Canada.
And it was getting out of control.
Yeah, so
it was ridiculous.
So I wonder if it'll be that easy for a company like that to get their hands on most of the Ubisoft shares.
Yeah, this shit is crazy.
All I have to say about the whole thing is, at this point in time, I think it's fair to say that Ubisoft is beyond good and evil, and eventually it'll be nothing much than Skull and Bones.
Yes. I like that. All right.
A good one.
Yeah, it is good. All right, more bad news. So video game sales decline in quarter 2022. Is anyone surprised by this? You know, this is especially...
Yeah. Tony,
what's up?
It's not a gaming recession, you know, because we redefined recession, so it doesn't count.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we did redefine recession the other day. Very interesting. Jesus Christ.
All I'm going to say is it's hard to sell games when they were all delayed to 2023.
Yeah, right. Because think about it like this, right? And obviously I'm not trying to paint a good picture because things are bad. But like, we had this super high in 2020 when everybody was buying games, you know? So you can't match that because there are no games now, you know? So this was bound to happen. So spending fell by $1.78 billion compared to quarter two of 2021, and content declined to $1.7 billion. This is according to the NPD. So yeah, basically sales declined by 13%, you know, year over year. Again,
I'd be curious to see like on a case by case back, because, you know, I'm not, data doesn't lie, but liars use data, right? So I'd be interested to see on a case by case basis of each game whether each game was selling low, or whether the game's average regular, normal sales It's just there were less of them, and so less money got spent overall. Because I bet you it's the latter.
It's a good question. I don't know. It's a good question. Yeah, because there are no games. There's no games. You know.
You know, and we've it's been a running pattern the last couple of weeks. You know, we've been talking about, you know, Netflix losing all its subscribers. We've HBO going through its shit show. We've seen you know, even Tesla had, I think, like the worst quarter in a couple of years. You know, companies are going through the ringer right now. A lot of bad earnings, and you know, it's all due to the fact that the economy is, you know, doing pretty bad, and when we're doing these year over year comparisons, it's hard to compare to the beginning of 2021. Is it 2021? We're still, you know, at stay at home and buying video games and streaming everything and getting stimulus checks and shit. So, it's hard to compare, especially when we're hitting peak highs in inflation and down. Our GDP is down two quarters in a row.
Mm-hmm. That's not a recession, though, according to the White House now, by the way.
Yeah, they don't know shit.
They don't. Real quick, though, Jay Shep goes, did games decline because PS had a shortage? It's because everybody had a shortage, you know? Like, that's the other thing. You couldn't buy the new consoles, you know? So, obviously, yeah, that affects things as well. It's not just PlayStation. Yeah. It's not like the whole industry writes on your PlayStation. It's on everybody. You know what I'm saying? Granted, Xbox was able to sell more consoles, but it's still the same. Nobody is doing well in the game.
Wait, Tony, you know? Tony. Are you telling me when you have less video games and less consoles to sell, that video games and consoles make less money?
Yes.
Mind blown.
Yeah, well, I wonder, it's like, well, how do you expect to move games when, you know, you don't have anything to promote? You know, video games, video game releases, video game, it's part of the narrative. It's part of the zeitgeist. It's Elden Ring, you know, came out sort of during this time, and it blew up because everyone was talking about it, and it got everyone excited. You know, it got the mainstream to get excited on a Soulsborne game. We're not getting those experiences right now. There's nothing to lit a fire in the industry. We're getting a bunch of delays. We're getting a bunch of rehashes. We're getting remakes to games that should have been remade and aren't built, you know, from the ground up on PS5. and it's, you know, it's sad. There's no excitement in the industry. And, you know, there's always the usual suspects with, you know, Pokemon to look forward to and Call of Duty. And, you know, we have God of War later this year, but so far it was a bunch of, you know, a very dry period with, you know, some little indie stuff and small stuff sprinkled in between.
Yes. Yo, Carlos.
Yeah.
You just made me think, like, people are saying, like, man, video games just aren't making as much money this year. Flash to Miyazaki. I can't hear you over all this money.
Yeah, that dude is making bank, man.
No, off a single, you're right, though. Like, if it wasn't for Elden Ring, yo, there really would be nothing to be excited about, yeah.
And even with a game like, and Q and Brian here, Horizon Forbidden West, we haven't gotten that, you know, we haven't gotten those numbers yet. So,
Brian, and that's a big game. You know? Actually, Brian, we were talking about this while you were gone. So, Sony said that it sold, what was it, Carlos, 6 million games or something? 6 million exclusive games this year so far, right?
The last quarter.
Brian, yeah. So think about that. So, Horizon must not have sold, you know what I'm saying? It sold less than 6 million because you got to count for the other games, the other two or whatever the fuck they were this year, you know? Very interesting. Yeah.
So then they knew the sales numbers, they're just not telling us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But we kind of know where it falls, you know? It falls within that range. I'm assuming it's probably the biggest seller of that franchise.
Oh, yeah.
What else came out, you know? But still, yeah.
Well, yeah, because they only sell to report numbers when it's doing really well.
Yeah, exactly.
To be fair, it did come out February 18th, so it does have a month and change from the previous quarter, but like you guys are talking about, if it would have sold really well, we would have heard about it 2 months ago.
There have been games that literally released a day before the month ended, and they were the best-selling game of that month. So that's not really an excuse. You know what I'm saying?
Let's be honest. We all know it just had the unfortunate luck of coming out right next to Elden Ring. Yeah. And I'll be honest. Anything's going to suffer when you do that. That was just bad luck.
Yeah, that was bad. Yeah, it happened again. Yeah, it came out, you know, the first one came out, and then Breath of the Wild came out right afterwards. Like, nobody was talking about Horizon, you know, which is a shame because Horizon was a better game, but we're not talking about that right now, you know.
Hey, Breath of the Wild didn't inspire every game retroactively backwards through time back to the SNES, all right?
This is true. You know, it even overtook Rise.
Tammy, you stole my joke.
That's it. The game
was so good. It broke the space time barrier and inspired games that came out before it.
It's insane. It inspired Nolan Bushnell and the Atari 2600. You know,
it inspires itself.
It did. It's a time loop. You know,
it inspired the sailing of the Mayflower, man.
Yep.
That was Wind Waker, Brett.
Yeah.
That's my bad.
But yeah, the report's interesting, but we again, economy's bad. There's no games. What do you expect? You know?
Yeah. So we're in the dog days of this generation.
No, but I was sitting there.
The dog days of this decade. Fuck.
Well, I was sitting there trying to figure out. I was like, why the fuck would you word it like that? That just sounds like you're shooting yourself in the foot by saying it the worst way possible, right? Like, well, we made less money because people spent less money. And then I realized, like, oh, yeah, that's because, again, this isn't news for gamers. This is news for stockholders. That's the only way that information makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, this is not for gamers, you know. This ain't N4G. Oh, man, that trash. All right, moving on here. Well, here we go. Nintendo financials have dropped, people, so you know what that means. You know what that 40. Means. Chris, man, you need to regale us with some stats and figures.
Oh, yes. Hold on.
Oh, my favorite part of the show. Let's fucking go. Charts, man. You motherfuckers love these charts, man. Oh, here we go. All right, Chris, so disseminate this information. What did you see in the Nintendo report?
All right, so it's pretty interesting. They admit that since last year, their overall sales have dropped, right? So dropped 4.7% from last year, and their operating profit dropped 15%. So what that means is if you're just looking at sales and you're just looking at how much income they get from sales, that's down, right? And like the other factors we talked about before with shortages and the economy and everything else to make purchasing decisions, their sales have dropped. And also, honestly, they haven't had a big release in a while. So, and going forward to this year, I'm seeing problems, but I'll get to that in a second. So the one thing that interested me was if you go down and look at their ordinary and net profits, those are up. Those are up nearly 30%. And I was sitting there when I first looked at the numbers and told me they came out, and I'm looking at this. I'm like, how the hell did that happen? Like, how could their sales be down and their operating profit be down, but their ordinary profit would be up? Well, that's because they got a huge boost from the yen falling from last year. So if you look at this, this is the yen versus the dollar from this time last year. And this is where it is today, right? It has lost roughly 28% of value. So that led Nintendo to gain about 56 billion yen in non-operating income from foreign exchange gains. So foreign exchange gains are very fickle, right? If your currency that you transactions in changes after the sale, right? That affects the value of the products. Because the yen fell against the dollar, they actually gained money. Those products actually got more valuable. It's also fell against the euro. So all their European sales, all their North American sales, they actually had a higher foreign exchange gain, so they actually ended up in the black from just that boost.
Mm.
But that is not a thing. I know some people look at that and go, "Oh, well, they were profitable, and that's that." Well, that's not that, because this is not something that they have any control over. Foreign exchange rates can change on a dime, and the yen was gaining on the dollar last year, and now it has fallen significantly, right? That's not anything Nintendo controls. That's not anything any company controls. That's just how finances work, right? So in terms of looking at the sales, though, that is what you have to look at, because that is the determining factor whether they're going to be successful moving forward. Because when you don't have those foreign exchange gains or in a bad case, losses, you have to rely on your normal income. That's your profit margin from your sales. And they're having low sales, and I believe they have a statement on this page. Sales from our dedicated video game business declined 4.3% year on year. Positive factors included the depreciation of the yen, so they talk about that, and the addition of the Switch OLED model with its high unit price to the hardware lineup. But hardware production was impacted by factors such as the global shortage of semiconductors, resulting in a decrease in hardware shipments and subsequent decline in overall sales. So while they attribute that solely to semiconductor shortages and not putting out enough hardware in the market and then affecting sales, my problem with that is there's already plenty of units already on the market, and there's still software, but it's not selling. So saying that, hey, we didn't have enough, we're suffering from shortages, we can't get enough units out there, and that's affecting overall sales. I would correct that and say that's affecting your hardware sales. Your software sales could still be high, because during the pandemic, you are having gangbuster sales with games like Animal Crossing or whatever. And at this point in time, you have way more units in the market than you did back then. So I'm not buying that, right? And that's a problem that they're going to have to deal with going forward. So I don't have a good outlook on not only this calendar year, but their fiscal year, because I don't see where they have titles or strong software to push sales. And if they're there's another story going to afterwards about the Switch Pro. But if you have nothing exciting people to make purchases, and right now, with a lot of people, especially here, money's tight, you know, with inflation and stuff, they have to make key decisions. And I always say this, nobody has infinite money. People are going to cut back on stuff. People are already making decisions about vacations and purchasing even like the brands they buy. So they're not going to go out and really spend on entertainment. So that suffers.
Elon Musk had to hold back on buying Twitter.
Even yeah, he's suffering.
You got to cut back. Yeah, man.
Yo, this guy owns an electric cars.
Yo, Chris, when he started the presentation saying, yeah, they didn't make more sales, you know what they did sell to get them better profits? And I was like, what, they sell another baseball team?
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah. You know.
That's funny, because I was thinking that when I was reading through this. Yeah, it's like they saved themselves during the Wii U days by offloading the Seattle Mariners, right? And I said the same thing back then. I'm like, you can't count on that. Like, you don't have enough of these like off company assets that are valuable to offload to keep yourself afloat. Eventually, you run out of stuff to throw off your sinking raft before a rescue ship comes to save you and you sink altogether, right? There's on the horizon going forward, what do they have for holiday and what do they have before this fiscal year ends? And I only see Pokemon, and possibly my theory, and this is tinfoil hat, is that they're going to dump, they're going to put out Breath of the Wild 2 just before this fiscal year ends. Mm. That's my prediction. But that's March of next year. For holiday this year, all they got is Pokemon again, right? The last, two holiday seasons, they have put out a new Pokemon game. This is the third one. They put out a new Pokemon game. And they're going to have to ride Pokemon through the holiday. They don't have really anything. I mean, Splatoon 3 or whatever, and yeah, Kirby. Coming, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, but those are not like big sellers, right? Compared to everything else, so they rely on Pokemon. But honestly, besides that, and those will probably sell pretty well. They're not going to really either A, push hardware. I don't believe
Bayonetta's not going to do it either. Mob hits. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. So what I'm seeing here is they're going to have to, and I don't know if they did it already because I didn't have time to read the whole report, but they're probably going to have to decrease their projections for the next fiscal year. That is, unless they are keeping something under their hat that they're going to release that they think is going to boost sales, and they have not been transparent at all. The directs honestly are lame. I watched the last Pokemon direct, and it took forever to get to Scarlet and Violet. They talked about like Pokemon Go and all this shit. I'm like, who cares about this shit? You know, talk about the games.
What about their online? The whole online thing? It feels abandoned.
Right. Well, I don't know how many subscribers to that there are, and they don't really talk about it. So I'm assuming it's not that profitable. It's not like, you know, Microsoft, the first thing they talk about is Xbox Live subscriptions and active users, or Sony will talk about PlayStation Plus. With Nintendo Switch Online, I don't see that mentioned, right? So I don't, it's probably not very, very many people. And probably the active users for that is just the guys who play Splatoon or play Smash Brothers, right? And that's not in the millions of people. So why would you keep that active just for old games? Like classic games, you wouldn't be. That's a waste of money. So the thing with this is, the way I see it, unless there's something in the pipeline that they're not telling people, besides Zelda, right? That's my theory. They're going to release Zelda in March of next year. Besides that, unless they got something else like maybe even a Switch Pro, I don't know if that would be enough. If they had like another Super Mario game or something to excite people, then that may tip the scale the other way. But again, like I said, this is dropping off. People's situation is not getting better. The, you know, inflation is not really doing so hot right now. And there's other factors people are thinking of. So that affects sales of everything that is not essential, right, to people, right? This is not gasoline and it's not food. Right, entertainment is completely ancillary and can be cut off at any time, and people will, you know, reduce spending, right, if they have to worry about essentials. So that's one thing. Nintendo, well, they're not going to talk about this because this is to their shareholders, and this is for Japan, really. But it still impacts them, right? America is still a huge market. If you look at the pie chart on here, that's the regional sales ratio. 48.3% is just from the Americas, right? That's North and South America, but a huge part of that 43.8% is North America, yeah, right? So yeah, that they have to worry about how we're doing, and if the product's selling here, right? And if it's selling less, that's a big problem.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't know. We'll see what happens with Nintendo, man. Anything else you want to tell us from this report, Chris?
No, I didn't. That was pretty much what I got out of it. Was they really got lucky that they had so much foreign exchange gains from the drop of the yen for this quarter. Like, that was a huge boost for them. But that's not something you can ever count on, yeah, right? Exactly, that's just pure luck.
Pure luck. Yeah, exactly. All right, because I want to jump to the next story. Chris, you already know what it is. You already know what it is. Give me just close this off real quick. We got to talk. Okay, so Nikkei, right? They report that Nintendo hardware is not coming this fiscal year. So no Switch Pro, no Switch 2. Chris, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I read this story a little, and my problem with it is I don't know what Nikkei source is. I would say this, it's like a 50-50 chance, and here's why. If this just came from an interview with Nintendo's president, then I'd say he's lying.
Nikkei Mishima.
But if Nikkei had some like their own reporting outside of that, and maybe they got to some insiders, or maybe some manufacturers talked about it, and it's, you know, it's not happening, then I would believe it.
Yeah.
Then I'd say, yeah, absolutely. Then they probably have insiders. They got to manufacturers or some, you know, some other people, and they found out. But if you're just taking the word of the president of Nintendo saying they have no hardware coming, I would say that's, then I would say then it's probably happening.
Yeah, yeah. They're liars. That's what they do. Watch out. What's Adam doing right now?
Adam, make sure by the end of the show, send me your address. I'll get you some WD-40.
It's actually the floor. It's not the chair.
What
the
I blew my nose. Yeah, so yeah, obviously this is a report, so take it how you will. But yeah, because yeah, we don't know how Nikkei is getting this information. But still, it would be interesting because when we reported on this before, and it was basically like companies were preparing to make 4K capable games for a Switch. You know,
yeah.
So yeah, we don't know at this point. Just very interesting. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on this. You know, but again, since this was a you know, because this came from a Bloomberg reporter, so it's like it's not just some asshole on YouTube talking shit. You know,
sure.
Yeah,
but again, yeah. Even he can't verify this. He mentioned it, and I say it's absolutely correct. He's correct to be suspicious. It's like if this came from what's the name of Nintendo's president? I forgot his name.
But the his name is
Furukawa.
Yeah, Furukawa. Yeah, Shintaro Furukawa. Yeah.
Listen, this is just like I said about Kimishima and stuff. If it comes from him, don't believe it, right? So if this came from interview, he said, "Oh, we have no new plans for hardware." And remember, this is the same guy who, when the Bloomberg reporting happened, and developers were saying they were developing 4K games, and Nintendo immediately came out with this statement, which was completely ridiculous, saying, "Oh, no, don't believe any of that reporting." And it's like, dude, you just confirmed it. You should have ignored that, and you would have had people guessing. But you went and tried to play damage control to a Bloomberg article. Bloomberg did not retract that article, by the way. They kept that reporting. So that tells me that it was absolutely true, and they were trying to do damage control. So now I'm looking at this, and I'm like, I'm leaning towards he said this to Nikkei, and they reported it, right? Which tells me that don't believe it. I don't know when the Switch Pro is going to happen, but I don't believe they're not working on new hardware. That's bullshit.
Yeah. All right. We'll see what happens with Nintendo, as always. All right. Moving on to some other stuff here.
Hold on. What's up, Ryan? Sorry. I'm in a good mood today.
Oh.
Yeah, I actually don't blame Nintendo for making a Switch for not making a Switch 2 because they have to work on the Switch 4 now because Valve made the Switch 3.
Yes. Oh man. All right, I want to move to the story because this is hilarious. So a Diablo player spent around $100,000, you know, to like, you know, spec out his character and stuff, and it looks like he became so powerful he couldn't matchmake with anybody else. He couldn't fight anybody else. Activision's trying to work on a fix for this, but imagine spending that kind of money and then, you know, to be like the beefiest character possible or whatever, and then you can't fight anybody because you're too beefy, you know?
That's poetry in motion, I would say.
Yeah. He could have invested that shit. $100,000. Like, come on, bro. What are you doing? You know?
Yeah, that that's a lot.
Well, the best part is that he said he wasn't the biggest whale. And he pointed out some other names of people that are bigger than him. That he was like one of the smaller fishes. And
you know,
that's ridiculous. If you're spending that kind of money on this game, that's insane.
And the membrane.
Which Diablo game is this?
Immortal. The fucking mobile one.
Man. Yeah, that's. Out of all the Diablos, man, it was that one that you spent 100K in. Man, yeah,
probably the only one you could spend that much on because it's tailored for that.
That is true. That is true. I don't feel right saying that I feel bad for the guy because it's.
He's a fucking idiot. I'm gonna say he's a fucking idiot. That's like borderline irresponsible use of your fucking money. You know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, so it's like I can't really say I feel bad for him because It's like you're the fact that you're wealthy enough to spend $100K on a fucking video game means that I just can't really sympathize or empathize with you at all. Because it's who does that?
Dumb. That is fucking stupid. You know, I don't get it. Again, I'm finding it extremely
funny. You know, it's like this dude drops $100K on a video game. Meanwhile, I'm over here like reluctantly, adverse to the idea of dropping $70 on a video game.
Oh. Brian, step your game up, Brent. You know,
Again, as Carla said, this guy way more money than sense. Like that's like a good car deposit on the house. You know.
Oh yeah.
Again, invest it. You know, like damn.
Yeah, shit. Be set for life. You know.
Well, to be fair.
This is what they all do, like Shroud and all of them. You see them; they drop a lot of money, thousands. They talk about it; they're not hiding it, so they're making their money back.
Well, to be fair to that guy, you know, people paid $60 for Halo Infinite, and they can't play co-op with their friends online.
You know, man. So yeah, Carlos, I'm with you. I don't feel sorry for this guy. He's a fucking idiot. I'm sorry, he's an idiot. You know.
Yeah, I mean, to each his own. I mean, people spend thousands of dollars on champagne.
My thing is, Carlos, I don't know if you agree with me. It's like, I don't judge him for what he does, but I'll still judge him for being an idiot. If you know what I'm saying, you know, like basically,
well, you know what
you want, but I'm going to call you a fool. You know,
well, here's the thing. Here's what I'll say. If you paid that much money with the pretense that you wanted to play with people, then you're a fool.
Yeah.
If the whole thing you wanted was, you know, being the beefiest character in the game and you don't care about your money and you have all of it to spend, then more power to you. But if you're actually complaining about playing with people,
he's complaining.
Then you're an idiot.
He made a video like, should I get a refund?
Oh, he made a video.
Yeah. He's a fucking YouTuber. He's a fucking YouTuber, dude.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. He was making his money back. It wasn't like...
Oh, I'm so yeah, so
all
okay.
The things that like this guy could have done instead, he actually could have gone to Vegas, got like, a good hotel, got like a bunch of girls in there, right. Got a Switch, and played like Mario Party. You know, yeah,
but he could have gone to a rooftop,
you know,
exactly. Could have rented a rooftop in Vegas and played like Switch on there.
Girls, yeah, man,
yeah, playing Mario Kart, you know, doing something wholesome,
as you do.
Yeah, that's what you do, you know.
He could have rented like a go-karting place and played actual Mario Kart.
Well, you know what's funny? When I went to Japan. I was in Japan. I was in Akihabara, and I was chilling with mates in a pub. It was like an kind of outdoor indoor pub. We were chilling, drinking and stuff, right? And all of a sudden, a bunch of people. It's like right next to a street too. A bunch of people with go-karts and Mario outfits going through the freaking city. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? This is in life right now. This is a simulation.
Nah, but then, and then you remembered, oh, yeah, I'm in Japan.
I'm in Japan, and I'm in Akihabara. So yep. I guess this is the most logical place for it to happen.
I could just imagine. Yatta! It's so... Ora, ora, ora! Oh, man. Shout out to Japan.
Shout out to Japan, man. I've been wanting to go back.
You know? All right. Thank you, COVID. And the last... I just threw this in right now, by the way. So, Beyond Good and Evil 2, it's getting a lead writer 6 years after the fact.
We got a trailer.
They're getting a lead writer 6 years after the fact.
Man,
how do you even make a game like that? Like the lead writer should be the first guy on the fucking team.
It's nuts, man. I have no clue. Like I don't even understand why they're even keeping it alive at this point.
I don't know. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
I wonder how much money has been sunk into this because it's been how many years now? So all those people, all those years, how many times they've started again? It's, you know, it's either going to be extremely good or it's going to be Duke Nukem forever again.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be the latter. It was announced in 2017.
Well, we got a trailer, remember? Like, they're like going through the buildings and stuff. It looked kind of like cyberpunkish.
The thing is, okay, it says it was officiated as in 2017, but I know for a fact when we went to E3 2014, Chris, we saw it. They showed it, you know, something, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been longer than that. I don't know.
My God, I don't even understand the sense of this. What the hell is
canceled? They don't, you know?
Yeah,
it's not even one of your big franchises. Like Brian mentioned, it'd be interesting to know how much they're actually been spending on it all these years on it. Have they been developing it? Have they been, you know, writing it? I don't know what any resources, if any, have been going into this game the last couple of years. If they're just getting their lead writer, that doesn't sound like they're anywhere near having a semblance of a game.
Yeah, this thing's a hot mess. Let's just be real here, you know? I don't know what's going on over there. And it's Ubisoft, too. He's like, okay, so you have that. You have Skull and Bones, Prince of Persia, like...
Hanson.
Yeah, Splinter Cell. You know. Dude! Man, I don't know.
I don't know. I released the trailer. People got excited, and I forgot. Started playing with my figures.
I got these creaky-ass floors.
Yeah, everybody choking on my floors.
Oh man! Yeah. All right.
I don't really know what the end game for this is. It doesn't seem like, you know, because Beyond Good and Evil did pretty decent when it came out, but I don't know if it's, you know, like that big of a franchise or that big of a game to
have this much hype for this long. Classic or whatever, you know.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
That's what it really is.
I'm just now like extremely I'm concerned now because this is again just not a good look that's been going on for so long. So I imagine either Ubisoft will have to make another Ghost Recon or Far Cry or some Tom Clancy game just to cover the hole in the gaps, unless somehow they're getting good money from Nintendo for doing the Rabbids crossover stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah, it just seems like a giant money sink at this point. And, again, as Tony said, I don't know if it's just worth it just to pull the plug or try to just scrap something together. I have no idea, but yeah, it's a damn shame.
Yeah, I would just cancel it at this point. This is a waste of time. Waste of time and money, obviously, you know.
And you know, Tony mentioned Skull and Bones. We know the only reason why this thing is still being developed, and it's because an entire country is forcing Ubisoft to make it.
That's right, yeah. That is insane, so, man.
Yeah, Ubisoft, man. And the shit, like, you went through that list, right? That list of things going on with Ubisoft. And you didn't even mention the Guillemot shit.
Nah, you want to speak on that real quick?
Oh, no, you know, like, just everything that has been announced going on with, you know, the past couple of years, the workplace and,
oh,
you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, all that shit. Kind of stuff,
so. So Ubisoft, man, it's been a rough patch these last couple of years. It all started with Watch Dogs, man. Let's just agree.
The downfall.
That's where it all started, man. Because then Assassin's Creed started not being that good.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just
probably, you know. the only positive was a Division, and that was only a positive because Adam's obsessed with it.
You know,
that is true.
Because if you asked me, I still would have said that was a disappointment.
Oh.
No, it's Division was cool. We had fun, you know. But yeah. Anyway, I think we're done here, man. You know how it is, man. Not only are we in the dog days of summer, we're in the dog days of this generation, you know. So it's like double trouble and shit. But listen, Throwdown will still be coming to you every single week, man. That's what we do around here. Some of the podcasts, like, oh, we're taking off this other to talk about. Doesn't fucking matter, man. Get on the mic, you know. Give the people what they need. You know,
go over financials.
Exactly. You know, anyway, do we have anything to plug around here? Adam, looking at you.
Nothing yet. It's soon. Tales of the Walking Dead. That's coming.
And it's
funny, too, because, you know, we're on. You can check out I Am Negan. That's the podcast I'm talking about. It's myself, Rich Billy Jr., and sometimes Carlos. If it's for the mothership, we cover all things Walking Dead. And it's over, with the Coalition, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify. And the reason why I bring all this up, because I just took a look now, and we got some more people subbing. It's like every other day or so. And it's because people are trying to catch up, whether they know that the mothership is ending and they didn't bother watching it, or rather just hear about it. Or they're hyped for all the new spinoffs. But if you're into Walking Dead, check it out. I Am Negan. You'll find us everywhere. So we're going to be coming. And it's 14th. That's the date. AMC sent me an email about it, just letting me know the 14th. Yeah.
So it's not this Sunday, but the next.
Yeah.
So Adam, just I guess we can clarify more later, but just to go over it, do you know if this is going to be a week early on AMC Plus?
They said it is. So unless they switch it up, that's the plan. That's how they usually do it, because they have to give some incentive for the subscribers of AMC Plus.
So we might be covering it.
Might be. So we'll let you guys know. We'll let it know.
Yeah. Also, if you're at CTE2 in Chicago, make sure you hit up Manny's at Artist Alley, table L16. Artist Alley, table L16. He will draw stuff for you. You know?
So, yo, man.
All that good stuff. All right. Throwdown, we're done, man. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube and Discord, where Mob Hits is always dropping the rumors. Despite the fact that there's not a lot of stuff going on, you know, he's still in there dropping the rumors. We're on every podcast app on the planet. Throwdown Show, two words, Throwdown Show. Throwdown Show is also on the internet through throwdownshow.com, which is basically our audio boom page. And you'll actually see like links to all the biggest podcasts, like apps you can find us on. But, you know, we're on podcast apps we never even heard of. So we're everywhere, you know. And again, like I said, you know, YouTube, if you like the content, we're never going to tell you that shit up front. We're about to start throwing down. Smash the like button. No. We tell you that after the fact, because what if you don't like us? You know, you'd be like, fuck these guys. So hit the like button or hit the dislike button. Doesn't matter. As long as we get the engagement, you know. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. And yeah, links located down below. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight is joined by Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vail.
Have a good week, everybody.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Majoma.
Go check on your deck. Update just came out.
Oh, shit. Oh. So two updates came out this week, man. Crazy.
Oh. What is this, Discord?
You know? All right, people. We'll see you on Sunday. Later.
Peace.
Peace.